Welcome to On the Right ADHD Trail. This is our third summit, and I'm thrilled to have 15 highly educated experts in the ADHD field join me this year. We're going to fill your backpack with tools to help you navigate the daily challenges of living with ADHD. I'm your host, Kathy Gett, owner of Get Focused. I am a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. You can find out more about me and my coaching practice at getfocused.com. That's getfocused.com. You know, years ago, I realized there was so much information out there for women, but no summits for men. So here we are, climbing the trail for the third time, and I just couldn't be more excited. Before I tell you of my guests, I'd like to thank our VIP telesummit sponsor, Lori Dupar, owner and director of International ADHD Coach Training Center, where they train ADHD coaches to be the change they wish to see in the world. Check them out at iaccenter.com. They're enrolling now for January 2022 semester. But are you already worried, how am I going to find the time to listen this weekend to all this valuable information? I have the solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For $85, you have extended digital access to all the recordings, a transcript of our audio interviews, and as a special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. But you know what? Enough talking. Let's get started and meet our next presenter, Brendan Mahan. Brendan Mahan is Master of Education, Master's of School Counseling, an internationally recognized ADHD executive function expert, a highly engaging, sought-after speaker, and the host of the ADHD Essentials podcast. A former teacher, mental health counselor, and principal, Brendan helps individuals, families, schools, and businesses manage the challenges of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and neurodiversity through an approach that blends education, collaborative problem solving, and accountability with compassion, humor, and a focus on strength and growth, and his trademark Wall of Awful model. You can contact him at brendan@adhdessentials.com. Brendan is going to present a presentation on the lessons he learned from COVID. Welcome, Brendan.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
It's great to be on. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, how did you manage the COVID-19 pandemic?
It was hard, kind of like you'd expect, right? But I honestly think it was a little easier for me than for most folks, and I have some evidence to back that up. Before I jump too deep into this, one of the things that I think is important to address that didn't come up in your introduction is that I used to be a summer camp counselor. And so I have a bag of tricks that most parents don't have because they haven't had to navigate a bunch of like 5 to 15-year-olds in a summer camp environment where most of the time things run smoothly, but every now and then something goes wrong or you've got 10 minutes to kill and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So summer camp also kind of breeds an ADHD-friendly level of enthusiasm into people. So that's kind of in here, too, a little bit. And I also – I have an ADHD-friendly level of enthusiasm because I have ADHD, right? So there's that – that's in here, too. So I understand ADHD because I have it. And we're talking to men with ADHD. I am a man with ADHD.
You are a man with ADHD. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So in the course of COVID, right, I sort of – approached it in two different ways, or I sort of see my COVID experience, I guess, in two different pieces.
Okay.
The first piece was that initial COVID hit, right? Like when COVID first started, there was that piece. And then eventually it turned into like an endurance race, right? Like it just became a slog. And I don't really know where that transition is, but I know that I experienced COVID differently as time progressed, and it just didn't end. But in the beginning, I had that new and novel response to COVID, right? Like,
right.
People with ADHD, when something's new and novel, we often get really engaged by that. And that happened to me. So I felt like I was uniquely situated to help people with ADHD navigate COVID. I feel like in a lot of ways I was built for COVID.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Yeah, not medically, but like as a person with the kind of background that I have around education, as a former summer camp counselor, I run parent coaching groups on virtual parent coaching groups. And so I have a lot of not just skills as a parent, but intentional knowledge of how to effectively parent. And my groups focus on managing anxiety and improving family connections. That's kind of the two pillars that the groups stand on.
Okay.
And so what was COVID if not a thing that increased anxiety and reduced connection, despite the fact that we were all in the same house together?
Right. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So I was prepped for that in a way that not all parents were. But even in the beginning, like I was feeling a little bit silly about it, right? Like I had this sort of split brain about COVID at first where I was going, everyone who thinks this is going to be over in a week is doing it wrong. Because my thinking, I spoke with parents who were like, well, I'm just going to let my kid play video games because there's no school anyway. So my kid's just on the iPad all day and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to them that I didn't think that was the best choice because – if this goes long, like if this is a two-week experience, yeah, cool. It's not a big deal that you let your kid be on their iPad for 2 weeks. But if this turns into 2 months, a year, which obviously it did, now the fact that they spent the first 2 weeks on an iPad is a recipe for disaster because at some point you're going to have to pull them off that iPad while they're at home virtually schooling or something.
Right.
And so – I was thinking long term, but also kind of not taking it totally seriously. There was a day when I literally dressed up like I was in a post-apocalyptic movie. Like I threw on a trench coat and I wrapped the towel around my head or like a scarf around my head. And I had binoculars and like a bag, kind of like a side pouch messenger bag thing. And I went to the supermarket like that to go shopping because like you should enjoy your apocalypse, right? Like you should kind of humor it a little bit. And I took a picture and put it on Facebook for my friends to laugh at and that kind of stuff. So sort of a combination of trying to lighten the mood and also not really getting what we were in for. Go ahead.
How did your children react to that?
Oh, they thought I was ridiculous. Yeah, they thought I was being ridiculous. My guys are 12. I have identical twin sons who are 12 years old. Yeah, thank you. And a wife as well. Go ahead.
Not cool, Dad.
Yeah, kind of, right? Like, what are you doing? And my wife was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, it's COVID. Yay! We should, like, embrace our post-apocalyptic stuff. I only did it one time, but it was fun, you know? I forget the other name for COVID. It was... the coronavirus, yeah. So I also, I'm a comic book collector, and I happen to have the first appearance of a character called Corona. So, like, I took a picture of it on, put that on Facebook and was like, I found the origin, right? Like, this is where Corona comes from. It's from the Super Spider-Man comic. But so I tried to be a little playful with it to lighten the mood for folks as much as sort of over social media. But I also sort of was paying attention to it as a thing that may be a long haul and let's take that approach. Right. And, and in addition to that, I mentioned my parent coaching groups, that round of coaching groups, the first meeting was the Monday of COVID for us. Right. So my kids came home on March 13th, which was a Friday.
Yeah. Right.
And we're like, or came home the Thursday before. And they were like, tomorrow, March 13th, we're not going back to school. Like, school's closed because of the pandemic. And I'm like, what? No, we haven't heard from anyone official yet. Don't just listen to the kids at school. And then 2 hours later, we get the word. And I'm like, oh, all right. So you were right. Apparently rumors were true this time. And then the following Monday, I'm meeting with, I don't know, 20 people over two groups who are all going, yeah, so now what do we do, right? Like, all of a sudden, our kids are home in perpetuity, maybe, for this COVID thing, and we don't know what that means. And I remember being kind of nervous and going, like, are my groups going to handle this? Like, how's, I don't know if I'm anything about how to live through a pandemic. Like, I don't have a good idea about what to do with this. So I sort of figured some stuff out, thought about what the likely challenges were going to be, and ran my groups as normal and said, look, we're going to find out together. And it turned out my groups were built to absorb that challenge, right? Because they're focused on anxiety, because they're focused on familial connection, they were really well suited to the challenges that came up during COVID. Without missing a beat, like, it was really good. The only thing I had to change as COVID progressed was I had put self-care towards the end of the groups. My groups last 8 weeks, and each week has its own theme. And I had the self-care week towards the end. And I've moved that to the front of the work of the parent groups so that we start with self-care. And then we move into things like parenting as leadership and connection and communication and anxiety and that sort of thing. But it went really well. And so professionally, the parent groups continue to go pretty well. I did have to close to some clients because they didn't have money coming in anymore. And I didn't want them to feel like uncomfortable about anything. I also needed more time. I knew, like, now my kids are home. The nature of my job as an ADHD coach is I work from home so I can be around for my kids. So I had to sort of do that. And I just carried a very light client base, ran the parent coaching groups, and occasionally did a workshop. And so financially it worked out okay. I sort of plateaued. I didn't make less money. I made, in fact, a little bit more, but not by much over the couple of years of COVID. So 2020 and now into 2021. And
who knows how long.
Yeah, right. And so that worked pretty well because I did prioritize my kids, but it was also difficult because of how many transitions I had to make. And I think that transitioning can be something that we don't always pay attention to as an ADHD trait and an ADHD challenge. But it's hard to shift back and forth from professional to dad at the rate that I had to do it. Because I would sort of wake up in the morning, meet with a client at 8 o'clock in the morning, maybe another one at 9. Then I'd go back upstairs and feed my kids and be dad and do stuff to keep them engaged and entertained and all that stuff. Then I'd go back and meet with another client, maybe in the middle of the day if there are coaching groups because they meet at 1 o'clock, or later on at like 3 or 4. And then I'd transition back to dad stuff again. And as COVID progressed and we came into the new school year, my wife and I had to make the decision of, do we send the kids to school? Do we make them virtual schooling kids? Do I homeschool them? Because I used to teach sixth grade and they're in sixth grade, or at least were last year. So that was a decision we had to make. And we chose to homeschool for the year. They're going back to school next year or this coming year that I maybe it's already started, depending on when this posts. And so that only added to my transitions, right? Because now I'm being dad and being the teacher for my kids.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, and I'm being an ADHD coach, and I'm recording a podcast and posting a podcast, and I'm doing the occasional workshop, and I'm still a husband and doing that.
I was going to say, and you're still a husband, right?
Right, yeah. So lots of different hats that I was wearing, which meant I was transitioning all the time. And constantly doing different things and carrying a lot of the day to day, right? My wife is a scientist, so she had to keep going to work because she works in a lab. There were a few months there where when things first closed down, she wasn't even going in. But once things opened up a little bit and we had a better understanding of what was going on, she was at work, social distancing as much as possible, masked up, working on mice and doing science. And so I was holding down the home front, right? So when my kids had that COVID anxiety burst that every kid had and still are having, and we had to navigate that, like, we brought in counselors right away. We were like, all right, we're getting our kids to work with some clinicians, not because they're having like huge issues, but because that's a lot of anxiety. We have that resource available to us, and it's another person for them to talk to. And both of my kids said that that part was helpful. Just it's another human, even if it's virtual, for them to check in with.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And mental health on their end. I also ran a weekly Dungeons and Dragons game for my kids that kept them connected to their friends. And that was the main reason I ran it, right? Like we invited four of their friends to meet with them on Thursdays over Zoom to play D&D for a couple of hours. Yeah. And
that's
that
great.
That worked. It, yeah. They have a stronger friend group now than they did before COVID started because like they've gone on adventures with these kids and fought monsters and stuff, admittedly in their heads, but that gives them this shared experience with four other kids that not everybody got during COVID. And they did get to see each other in person on occasion. They did a sledding party, and as things got better, those kids have since come over to hang out now that folks are vaccinated and that kind of stuff. So that friend group continues, which is pretty good. A lot of my COVID stuff was aimed in, was more dad focused and school focused than job focused, but I kept the job going too.
Well, you know, you have to do it all. And it sounds like you did a really incredible, good job at it. Give yourself a pat on the back, Dad.
Yeah, thank you. I tried it, but it was slog. I took Concerta for a while, right? And I eventually stopped taking it because one of the things that Concerta would do for me is it kind of made me grumpy. Like I just got grumpy, right?
I could handle.
Yeah, I just would have these moments of crankiness, usually as I'm coming off of it, right? So like 3, 4, 5 o'clock, which is fine when things are normal. Like I'm able to sort of recognize that I'm grumpy and sort of move past it and not act on the grumpiness mostly. But when you're seeing people for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're literally not getting a break for well over a year, that grumpiness starts to matter. It starts to become harder to manage. It starts becoming harder to keep in check. And what happened what happened on my end was our insurance changed. So my Concerta stopped happening because the new insurance company was like, we're not going to approve this until the doctor contacts us. My doctor had contacted them with plenty of time to spare, but the insurance company couldn't find my name in their records. So they wouldn't. I'll let the doctor do it. It was red tape stuff. But wound up not taking the Concerta for a month because I just couldn't. I wasn't allowed, right? Like the insurance company wasn't granting me the medication, which is a whole other thing to be cranky about. But that was when I noticed that it was making me grumpy because all of a sudden I wasn't grumpy anymore. I had a lot more patience with my kids for their sort of frustrations and foibles around COVID and their pieces and bursts of anxiety. And so I was like, all right, well, it's harder to do stuff, but I'm less grumpy. So I just made the decision to stop doing COVID. I'm sorry, to stop taking Concerta because I would rather have a good relationship with my kids than send 4 extra emails that day or whatever.
Or
maybe any emails that day.
Did your kids pick up on your grumpiness? Were they telling you you were grumpy?
Or was it just you
aware of it?
Yeah, I learned a ton about myself and sort of where my lines are and how well my emotions are managed during COVID. I thought I was pretty good at managing my emotions, and I probably was. Outside of a pandemic situation, but yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. So what lessons did you learn about yourself through this pandemic and that we're still in?
Yeah. I learned that I am not as chill as I want to be. And I think I learned that I have unreasonable expectations for myself. Because I kind of feel like I should just be patient all the time, always, always, and always, which is not realistic. Like no one can do that. And I would be patient and things would sort of build. And maybe once every month and a half to 2 months, I would just need a day to myself and just need everyone to go away, except nobody could. Right. So I'm sitting on the couch trying to watch some show that I want to watch because I've been sort of acquiescing to everyone else's wants and needs. Right. And that's another lesson is that I am allowed to have wants and needs. I'm allowed to not want to do the thing. I'm allowed to put myself first, but I don't. And it's important that I also recognize that, right? I'm very much a whatever my kids need, whatever my wife needs, they take precedence. That matters more. And I'm always putting my wants and needs second, which is not the best call. And I've had to do a better job of prioritizing my own wants and needs and recognizing when I'm being frivolous, which is something that can be put to the side, right? And when I'm, it's actually a thing that I need, right? A want, you can put to the side. A need, you need to listen to. And we have fewer needs than we think, but it's important to recognize them when they're there.
Well, isn't that just part of your self-care too, that you have to recognize that you need to take that step away from people, or you need to go outside or whatever?
Yeah. And my self-care fell apart during COVID. I did not practice self-care. I practiced everyone else care. And I think that's a piece of why our family navigated things as well as they did, right? Because I was on top. I'm like an ombudsman. Like, I have the skills to pay attention to everyone else's mental health and status and that kind of stuff. And I was doing that. I was trying to keep everyone balanced at my own expense sometimes. And I had to learn how to change that and do better. And I had to learn how to ask for help and how to accept help, neither of which were necessarily things I was good at. But I figured it out and did. I'm okay at it now. I'm still not ready to say I'm good at it, but I'm better than I was, and I'll go as far as saying I'm okay at it.
Okay. So what do you see the future holds then with this pandemic? How you're going to be handling? Are your children definitely going back to school?
Yeah. They need to go for themselves so they can see other kids and get those social connections. They're vaccinated because they're 12, so we feel reasonably safe with them going. I need them to go, quite honestly, because I just need time to myself. I need time to get this business back on its feet. I need time to like watch a stupid television show that no one else wants to watch, right? And not have to do the math in my head of what does this person want versus what does that person want, and how do I pick this thing, and who am I putting out by watching the thing I want to watch or whatever. I need to practice more self-care. I gained probably 20 pounds during COVID. And they need to go away. I need to lose those 20 pounds that I found.
I know. Isn't it amazing how we all gained this weight? It's just so frustrating. I've got the same problem. My husband and I both have the same problem going on right now. But it's just, you know, that's just the way it was and everything. Right. So, well, we're getting close to the end. Do you have any other thoughts that you want to share with our men? Others that are listening to?
I think it's important that as men, like men sort of go one of two directions, right? They either, and sometimes the same man goes in both directions. Sometimes they're going to, like I did, put all of their family's needs first, right? And sometimes they're like, they just want to go down to their man cave and do their thing by themselves. And they kind of like separate from the family, right?
Right.
In order to practice self-care, like that's a thing that can happen too. They either don't practice self-care or they practice self-care by themselves. And I just want to share the idea that like family self-care is a thing and it takes care of us as well. And so do that. Or even if you don't have a family, but you got a group of friends, like there is such a thing as group self-care where you're going on adventures together, you're playing board games together, you're watching a movie together and then discussing it. Those things, many of which fell apart during COVID because we couldn't do stuff in groups unless it was in the family. And the family stuff fell apart because everything was overwhelming. I highly recommend finding the strategies for group self-care or family self-care to reconnect and rebuild those relationships that may have suffered during COVID. Like there's a website called Atlas Obscura that has like weird places to go in the world. And there's a website called Only in Your State. There's another website called Only in Your State that has like cool places to go hiking or explore in your state. Okay. My family and I made liberal use of those sites, and another one called Weird Massachusetts because we live in Massachusetts, but not every state has a weird and then the name of the state website. One of the coolest things we did during COVID was we found this old abandoned train tunnel. And we just walked through this tunnel, and it was awesome because you go into the tunnel and you're like, this is cool. And then eventually it just gets dark and you're in this pitch black. You can feel your eyes straining to see something because it's just pitch black, except there's a tiny white dot down on the far end of where the tunnel, the other side of the tunnel is. And it was really cool. It was like walking into a fairy world. Like you kind of, as you go, that little dot turns kind of green. And then all of a sudden you can see out the tunnel and there's like the trail and there's these rock walls and stuff, but it's all overgrown. So there's all these plants and mud and muck. And it was a really cool experience of kind of walking into another world. It's like Narnia stuff. But it was great. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing you can find if you go poking around. That spot is about 20 minutes from my house. And I don't live that far from a city called Worcester. So it's not like if you live in the city, you can't find these things. You just might have to drive a half an hour instead of 20 minutes. So I recommend looking for those and then add some wonder to your life and to your kids' lives and add some physical activity by hiking and exploring and that kind of stuff. It's that group self-care matters. So that's kind of what I would encourage is, men are all about being leaders, so just pay attention to the direction you're leading in and lead your kids and your family and your friends towards their own self-care by way of finding adventures or activities that support that self-care as a team.
I really like that. That's a great thing. I've never heard of doing group self-care, but, you know, as people that I know that are single, they're like, well, there's nobody here with me, but reaching out and doing some group self-care. That's really great. Well, I know that you have a free gift for our audience. Could you tell us about the free gift?
I do, yeah. It's called 5 Ways to Overcome the Wall of Awful. You can find it on my website at ADHDessentials.com. If you scroll down to, like, the middle section, you'll see it. It's nice and obvious. And that's exactly what it is. It's 5 Ways to Overcome Your Wall of Awful. The Wall of Awful is a model that I created that is sort of addresses the emotional impact of ADHD and repeated failure. And there's videos on the website too that explain it too. Those videos are, it's How to ADHD, which is Jessica McCabe's YouTube channel. So she made the videos. She and I had talked on her channel one day. So there's 2 videos that you can check out on the website. And then a little below those videos is the freebie.
Okay. I watched it. It was really good. I thought it was really, really, really interesting.
Oh, thank you very much.
So if somebody wants to contact you, is there a particular address they should use, your email or what?
Yeah, they can go to brendan@ADHDessentials.com. That's my email address. They can just go to ADHDessentials.com, and there's like forms on there someplace too in the contact me section. And if they want to stay in contact, but they don't want to actually talk to me, they can always just listen to the podcast and hear other things I have to say. And the podcast is ADHD Essentials.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Brendan. It was really a joy talking to you. I loved hearing about all your learning experiences with your children. And I think this is going to be very helpful for a lot of us because I think, like you said, we're not out of this yet. And who knows what's going to be going on by the time we're into October when this is going on and everything. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Well, stay tuned, audience. We are going to have another presenter in just a little bit. Take care.